Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we've been talking, Richard, all week about the grace of God.
Yes.
And how the grace of God is more than simply a covering for sin or something that takes care of our past, but it really is a word that meets us at our point of need here and now. We find it to be sufficient at our point of need here and now. It's a word that's very proactive in our lives at every given moment. So it's a present tense word.
Yes.
It's a powerful word, and it's a word that moves us into our future. So we know it in terms of favor, you know, God's favor that he's bestowed upon us in Christ Jesus. That's a present tense reality. If you're a believer in Christ, you stand in grace and you are in God's favor. And because of grace, you will never be out of his favor.
Correct.
That's his choice. So you may have the worst thought in the world, the worst attitude in the world. You may be in the middle of doing the worst thing in the world. But if you're in Christ, you're within the very favor of God. Now, that is mind-boggling. That is something that we can't fully comprehend, and it takes a long time for us to see exactly what that means. But that's the reality. So grace is this word that saves us, that makes us alive together with Christ, and then equips us to live as children of God here on planet Earth. It is one of the most wonderful words in the Word of God. It's limitless. We can't outsend the grace of God. Many people have tried, but you just can't. No matter how bad you think you are, the grace of God is bigger still. That's just the wonders of it. That's why it's called Amazing Grace. But oftentimes when we think about the grace of God, we think of it in terms of the Apostle Paul. We equate the two, that Paul was the apostle of grace. But that's not the case at all. When you look at the Word of God, you see all of the writers of the New Testament talk about the grace of God. Even Peter talked about the grace of God. And I love how he ends both of his letters in 1 Peter chapter 1. He wrote this in verse 12. So 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 12, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly. So here's this first letter of Peter. He's gotten help from Silas, who is a faithful brother, and here's what he says: I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. So what was the subject matter of Peter's first letter?
Grace.
The true grace of God. And then his encouragement is to stand fast in it, to be anchored right there to the grace of God. Don't drift away. Don't look elsewhere as if there's something else better than the grace of God. Stand fast in this grace that's been poured out on you in Jesus Christ. So that's how he ends letter one. I've testified to the grace of God. I've encouraged you about the grace of God. Now stand fast in it. He writes another letter, and he writes to people scattered all over the world, and he gives some incredible, incredible encouragement in this second letter. He also gives some warnings, some really stark, bleak warnings about those who pretend to be believers, false prophets, and what their real nature is. But then he gets back to the hope that we have in Christ, and at the very end of this second letter, he leaves his readers with this: but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. So he's testified about the grace of God. He gave encouragement to his readers to stand fast in it. And now at the end of his second letter, he's saying, hey, here's the grace of God. Now I want you to grow in that grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What is it that we need to be doing as believers? How are we to live this Christian life? By growing in the grace of God. That's what our priority should be, to grow in the grace of God. Grow in an understanding of this favor that you stand in, that you have with God, not based on anything you've done, but because of the completed work of Jesus Christ. Grow in that. Grow in your knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's when I think things will start working out and you'll start figuring out this is the way the Christian life is really supposed to work. You're starting to get it. So that's our encouragement today. We hope this whole month has been an encouragement to you as we've talked about various aspects of the grace of God, how it is the very power that enables you to live every day as a believer in Christ Jesus. Well, if you have further questions about the grace of God or anything going on in your life, we would love to hear from you right now. The number to call is toll-free, 844-32-BASIC, 844-32-BASIC, or the real numbers, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's fill up the lines. Let's in this week just talking to as many people as we possibly can. So that means call right now.
Right now.
We would love to hear from you.
Yeah, there'll be dead air until somebody calls. No, we've got online questions as well. I picked this question on purpose because of what you wanted to introduce today. So thinking about everything that Bob has just said about grace, listen to this question. Can we move the hand of God by praying?
Boy, I wish I could.
Yeah.
I wish I could just move the hand of God. And, you know, for example, there's ministries in most every ministry goes through these cycles as far as contributions are concerned. You know, the first part of the year, it's rough sledding. I mean, there are all kinds of dry patches. Mm-hmm. Patches that you go across and you wonder, Lord, do you really care about the ministry? So I want to be able to pray and move God's hand so that he will move the hearts of people to give just a ton of money, mm-hmm. so that we can keep broadcasting, so that we can keep doing things. So I would love to have that power. And sometimes we think that if we gather up a number of people, mm-hmm. you know, not just 100, but 1,000 or 2,000 or 10,000 or something like that, that God is going to be obligated to respond to our prayer request. But that's not how the Christian life works. That's not how Christianity works. God always initiates to us. We respond by faith. It's that by grace through faith plan. And that's true of prayer. So if we're praying in response to what God has initiated by grace, then it feels like we can move the hands of God. But actually, it's just God moving our hands to get involved in what he is really all about. That's the whole thing. We don't want to come up with plans and hope and pray that God will come and join us. No, God's got something going on.
Yes.
There's a train blowing through this world. And what he's asking us to do is to get on board. And when we're on board, then to be available to him as the engineer to do and to will of his good pleasure.
Yes.
Not our good pleasure. So when our prayers line up with his will and good pleasure, it seems like we're moving his hand, but in reality we're simply responding to what his hand has provided for us.
My brain finally catches up with what the Spirit has been trying to do for the last however long it's been, a day, a month, whatever.
Right. Absolutely. So is prayer important? Absolutely. You know, there's all this questions, if God already knows what I need, why even pray? Well, because you can.
Yes.
You can. My goodness, why not? I mean, you have access to the God of this universe. He is alive, living in you, and he encourages you to pray. And I think part of that praying process is something that God uses to get our minds fully engaged in what he's all about, to help us grow in our knowledge of grace and grow in our knowledge of Christ Jesus. And when all that starts to work, you start to see, wow, how wonderful prayer really is and how powerful it really is, not in moving the hand of God, but in changing me. And yes. in refocusing me to things that really matter in life. Boy, we get lost, and our sights get moved to things that we think are so important. And then when we look at it, it's like, why did I waste a minute on that? And prayer kind of helps shift mm-hmm. that for us.
Yeah, there's a sense in which if you think about an excellent teacher you've ever had, one of the things that makes that teacher excellent is they encourage the dialogue. The teacher knows the answer you're looking for, but the teacher never gives you that answer until you've started the conversation and your brain gets engaged, and then it's like you've discovered the answer for yourself, but you really haven't. And that's the way it is with God. He knows everything we need exactly when we need it, but he encourages us to dialogue so that he can reveal that to us over time.
Absolutely. Well, one wonderful question. Hope that helps. We have some open lines. My name is Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. On today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you, 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Let's go to Long Island, New York, and talk to Teresa listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Teresa.
Hi, brothers. How are you? I'm so happy to get to talk to you again. God bless you both.
Thank you so much. So nice to hear from you.
Thank you. I first want to thank you for that booklet, The 12 Days of Simply Grace. I've started it 2 days ago, and I really am enjoying it very much. And also, I'm looking forward to my book. I can't wait to get the book.
So, wonderful.
Thank you. Thank you in advance. I just wanted to make a comment that I know that since I've been really soaking up the grace and walking in grace, I used to always worry that I wasn't doing enough, that I wasn't witnessing enough for the Lord. And I, you know, that used to really weigh on my mind. And I just wanted to say that the closer I get to him and the more I am just swimming in the grace, that I think I must be giving off light because I feel lighter and I am just automatically witnessing to people. It just kind of comes natural. So he finishes the work. He does the work. And it's such a burden off of me. It's just unbelievable. I just wanted to share that I was always so bogged down with wondering what was I doing? How could I do it? What could I do? And now I just feel like I just automatically witness because I want to share him. And I think that's the way it should be.
Well, Teresa, you're exactly right.
Yes.
That's the way it should be. And it's so awesome to hear you say that a burden's been lifted. And in replace of that, a joy has been inserted. So a burden's been taken off of your shoulders, and a newfound joy has been placed in your heart. Now, talk about a great exchange. That's a great exchange, isn't it?
Absolutely. It sure is. Just to want to share him, you know, not to keep it to myself.
Yeah.
So that's it. And I want to just thank you guys. I love you. Listen every day. My children love you. It's really an exciting broadcast. God bless you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.
Well, thanks, Teresa.
Yes,
thanks for letting us be a part of your life, and even more importantly, thanks for being a part of ours.
Thank you so much. Have a good day now.
God bless, Teresa. Well, that's a great call and such great encouragement. She mentioned a resource that we have, 12 Days of Simply Grace. It's excerpted from my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, which releases soon. But we wanted to whet folks' appetite and to give them an opportunity to take a little dive into the waters of grace and to see what the grace of God really is. And it's a devotional. We look at a verse on each day. It's something that you could do at any time. And we want you to have it. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Simply go to our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the 12 Days of Simply Grace icon, and you'll just follow the instructions, and we'll get one to you as quickly as we can. This is wonderful for personal study. This is also great to work through with others.
Yes.
So if you want to do a small Bible study, you know, a short-term Bible study, 12 weeks, you could look at one day of grace every week. And I think it would make for fascinating discussion and really give a group a sense of what this grace of God is all about. It's not just about salvation, although that's where we encounter it the very first time, is at salvation. Why? Because we are saved by grace through faith. He initiates that. He knows what our needs are, and he does for us what we can't do for ourselves. But grace doesn't end there. Once grace starts in our lives, it never quits. That's the good news. So we need to know about the grace of God, and what we'll find out that it's really the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yes. Once he starts in our lives, he never quits. So we want to put this in your hands, 12 Days of Simply Grace. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. Today is actually the last day. I guess we're doing it through the end of the month, so Sunday is actually the last day. But the last day as far as this on-air offer is concerned. So take advantage of it, 12 Days of Simply Grace. Well, let's go to Calgary and talk with our friend Miles. Hi, Miles.
Good afternoon, fellas. The basic gospel that you promote is just that, and we often have calls coming in asking very specific questions about rather fine details of what is in the Bible. But at the end of it all, as basic gospel portrays, it's really just all about death and life. And I'm thinking that grace is really what Jesus talked about, in that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we need a way out of here, and he is that way out of this fallen earth. And I was wondering if you could comment on the possibility that the earth is somewhat, as Dante described in his three books, starting with the Inferno, Hell, and Purgatory, and ultimately Heaven all at once, as we are pilgrims through this journey of life.
Well, there's, you know, there's this vast universe, and it seems to be expanding, as scientists are seeing through, you know, the latest telescopes and that sort of thing. They are noticing that it's ever expanding. So this energy just keeps forcing it to be bigger and bigger and bigger. But there are places, you know, that the Word of God speaks about that are of interest to us. You know, there's this vast universe out there, and it's God's glory, it's magnificent, it's those sort of things. But, you know, a lot of it seems to be not for us as far as enjoyment, other than to see it for what it is. But there are some places that we hear about heaven, we hear about earth, we hear about hell. We hear about hell being the place of death. It's a place for those who reject Jesus Christ. We hear about earth, we hear about heaven, And we know at some point heaven and earth are going to kind of be united. And that's when the new heavens and the new earth, this new Jerusalem, comes down from heaven. God takes up residence there. That's where we're going to abide eternally. So it's that prayer of Jesus, as it is in heaven, so it will be on earth. We're going to see that fulfilled at that particular time. But those are places that we're concerned with and that we want to know about, because they're places that people inhabit, and
yes.
And that's why they're of interest to us. So in the Old Testament, we see this garden that was built. It was Eden. It was also known as paradise. When sin entered in, paradise changed. So when people died and they were righteous in the sight of God, they went to paradise. Those that didn't, they went to another place, Hades, the deep regions. And we see that in a story in Luke 16, where there's two that had died, and there's this great chasm between the two, and one is in Abraham's bosom, or paradise. The other is in those deep regions of Hades. And so we see that, and all of that is going to, play out. Hades is going to give up her dead. There's going to be a final judgment, the great white throne judgment. And they're going to be, doomed to second death, so eternal death. And then those who are alive in Christ are going to have the resurrection of the body, and they're going to be with Christ forever, and they're going to inhabit that new Jerusalem. So that's how, it kind of lays out in the Bible. And that's why those places are important, because people inhabit those places. And if we're going to be in one place and want to be in another, we have to ask the question, how do we get moved from one place to another? And that's where the gospel message is significant.
I'm thinking that all sins, and there's mention of the seven deadly sins, but there's many more than just seven. Can we think of those as demons? And that, we on this earth today, we are all to some degree being pursued by these demons or these sins. And
well, it's
therefore hell is here on earth at times.
Well, metaphorically speaking, yes. is how you could think of it in those terms. But all of that, gets down. What's the root of all of sin? It's unbelief in Jesus, and that's what gets corrected through the gospel message. Well, Miles, we're almost out of time. Thanks for your call. We're going to go quickly to George in the Bronx. Hi, George.
Hi. I'm calling, reading from Romans, where Paul says, where sin abounded, grace does much more abound.
Yes.
But then in chapter 6, he says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he says, certainly not. And then he goes into the idea of our having died with Christ and to reckon ourselves dead to sin. And he also goes in the same chapter and says, what shall we do? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, but under the grace. And again, he says, certainly not. Whoever you yield yourself as a slave, you're the slave of the one to whom you yield yourself.
Yeah, because when we were under law, when we were lost, it says that sin was our master.
Right.
And so the grace of God breaks that power. So
right.
that we are no longer under the control of sin, but under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. But do we have to apply that to our lives consciously in order that we may get the benefit of that blessing that Christ has done for us?
It's the by grace through faith. The through faith is the application of grace in our day-to-day lives, and it is a very conscious thing indeed. Well, George, we got 7 seconds before this program ends. We sure appreciate your call. You hang on the line, okay? Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you next week.